we did this for a number of years, back in 2010, 11, 12, something like that, 13. And then I can't remember the last one we did. That was probably a decade ago.
Yeah, I think it was with Dennis Banks before he passed away. Yeah, under livingtraditional.com. Yeah,
for sure.
There's a lot of posts there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, people can see each one of the different healers that were on it talked about natural healing, spiritual ways from Africa, Native American, European. I've studied with healers from all over the world.
Yeah, that was, I came to you during my first divorce, and I didn't know what I needed. I just knew I needed help. So I asked a buddy, and he recommended you. Uh-huh. Otherwise, I don't think I ever would have gone. I would have been too, like, who is this guy? Like, no, yeah. It would have. But I was desperate, and a good friend recommended. So I'm like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going. And 2 or 3 years seeing you, and then we started the radio show at the same time. And that was like my education or like secondary education, because I got to meet all these people and soak up all this knowledge. Yeah. And yeah, it healed me. I'm forever grateful for that experience. And so my reason for starting this up again is to give people another story, another picture, another way other than the cut, burn, poison system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so any stories you have of people coming to you, your own story, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what they did, what the outcome was, and mm-hmm. and maybe, if you want, what you think the mechanism is, or how it works.
I don't think there's a better teacher than desperation and pain. Mm. And they will win the battle. Whether you medicate it, run away from it, get divorced from it, go on drugs, anything, so you don't have to feel it. Mm. So probably one of the most difficult things we can do as a people is to be able to acknowledge that grief, that pain, that desperation, instead of masking it. Mm. So it's really about uncovering who you really are. And basically, you're running from yourself. And running from what? The dark side of the night. Mm. Because when we start that journey into self-healing, one, it takes courage. Mm-hmm. It takes commitment. Mm-hmm. And it's takes a willingness to discover those parts of yourself that you're not aware of, and been hiding from. It's there, it's always going to be there. And even as you heal, let's say, acknowledge, embrace the dark side of yourself, it always remains. It doesn't go away. And the good news is the sharp edges soften and become quieter and don't take up so much space inside your body. Mm. And so that's the beauty of embracing the all of me. Mm. And as we all say, all our traditional healers, you walk through the darkness into the light. And that light is what? The light is being able to be authentic, your true self. Not being intimidated by your honesty. That's all you got. And there's consequences to authenticity. And so just because you're being authentic with somebody, say a lover, parent, your brother, anybody, doesn't mean you're going to get the outcome that you want. Mm-hmm. And so, but your truth is all you have. You'll carry that to your grave. And so, why not live it? Mm-hmm. You know, today's all you got. Who knows tomorrow? So it sort of goes into a lot of the spiritual traditions of living in the moment. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for this moment with Clay, to be with a dear brother of mine, share some of my thoughts. Maybe others can listen to it if they want. And if they don't, that's fine with me. So the journey to the self, and that's not selfishness. Self-care is not selfishness. It's because self-care builds a more compassionate heart. Self-love builds more kindness. Self-love builds more honesty. Self-care means living your passion, your life purpose, whether people like it or not. And trust me, you're going to lose friends. You'll see who's really your friend and who's not when you start this healing journey. And the flip side, or not the flip side, but what comes along with that self-care, that self-love, compassion, empathy, is helping other people, being of service. It's, if you think you're doing it just for yourself, you're on the wrong boat. No. It's sort of the world speak to us in a way that reveals how painful this experience can be worldwide. What, 2-3 million children die every year of starvation? Mm-hmm. How can you sleep well at night? You know?
Especially if you got billions and the resources to do something about it. Yeah,
and as they're dumping surplus food in the ocean. So, yes, we can see what's not right. We can see what's wrong. But that deepens our commitment to the spiritual path, to the high road, knowing that this is the way that's been spoken for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. I'm not speaking of anything new here at all. But as we begin to embrace ourselves, our inner being finds a certain peace in spite of what's going on, a certain calmness. And it's that energy that we carry radiates out into the cosmic universe. It's like a ray of light. So the more of us who practice this, the brighter that light is going to be. And it's about a belief. Believing in that. Mm-hmm. Not just some sexy words. You know? So, I can't fix anybody. I can share my experiences. I can share with you what I've learned. And that's enough. I can give you guidance on what to eat. I can tell you what organs inside your body may not be doing well or out of balance. I can see spiritually what's lacking. It's like a compass. We call it the four cardinal directions. North, south, east, west. And body, mind, heart, spirit. It's the sacred hoop you see in the Native American community. And when people come to see me and talk to me, I listen carefully. another key element in your healing is to be able to listen. Too many people, as they're listening, they're thinking automatically how to respond, but not listening. They either want to fix it or change you or blame you or shame, you know, whatever. But being a good listener, just listen. Interesting. There's that Japanese word called ma, M-A. And ma means when there's some conflict, to take a silent moment or two and a deep breath. Before you come back into it, to that sacred silence, the beauty of silence in this world of chaos. And so, anyway, so there's silence and there's your voice, there's both. Again, it's balance. But when we look at the cardinal directions, I look at which part of you may be overemphasized. Or maybe what part of you is being neglected. And so healing, in that healing journey, it's about rebalancing that sacred hoop. Maybe you live in a spiritual world where all is good. Ha! No, I'm sorry.
You used to always say to me, who are you fooling? Who do you think you're kidding?
Yeah. No, it's not all good. It's not all bad. That's the, in the Chinese medicine, that's the yin and yang. Mm-hmm. The good and bad, the water and the fire, we all carry. And so you sit there and you go, okay. Let me take that into consideration. There's that saying I use. Let my words wash over you. Open your heart and take them into consideration. So, that's all. And your response, I don't need a response. I would just like you to open your heart and take them into consideration. You know, if I tell you you got to eat a little less meat, you're already biting on the chips and saying, I love meat. How are you going to stop eating meat? Just quiet. Your body's too hot. It needs cooling. Animal products, very warm and creates heat, which we all need. But when you're hot-headed, it might be wise to use a cooling foods and go on a vegetarian diet. Cool the blood, let it detox. So there's the body-mind. And then the heart or the emotions, it's, why are you so defensive? What are you trying to defend? What are you scared of? Yeah. I'm not scared of anything. I said, oh, really? Okay. What if I told you that I feel otherwise? What would you say to that? And so, body, mind, how you think. Some people just see the negative. Always the worst outcome. Always mad at their mother, father.
Well, how about we get specific? Did you want to tell your own story, or did you have a client, a story that was...
I put everything I've learned into my courses. They're on my website, how to feel better, how to communicate better, how to relate better. If I feel better, I can do the other two. And often when people say something that upsets me or triggers me or something happens or just life in general, first thing I do is turn to feel better, whether it's breath work or meditation or mindfulness, watching my thoughts or doing something physical like exercise or the cold or hot or whatever it is. But a whole list of amazing tools that I had no idea, and I used to suffer a lot when I didn't have them. And then once I can calm myself, well, then I can communicate better. I can catch myself before I say something hurtful, or I can learn how to ask for what I need, or I can learn how to communicate with people around me so I'm more likely to get my needs met. And this helps immensely in all my relationships. I can be the one, I am the one who's the healthy one, who's the one that knows how to relate and relates in a healthy way. I'm not the one who's the rageaholic or the maniac who's destroying the relationship and constantly doing the toxic, dysfunctional behavior. And so if we have these skills, we can all be that one. And then this whole toxic living, toxic relating, toxic communicating can fall by the wayside because we don't have to do it anymore because we've learned a better way. And this system that we're in here, they don't want us to know a better way. They don't want us coming back together. They don't want us feeling better because then we're not going to buy their stuff. They need us poor and sick and fat and unhealthy in order to do all that. Whereas if we feel better and we're able to communicate better and relate better, we don't need them. We can build a better world where we steward and take care of this place and each other. And everyone benefits, even the supposed powers that be. They will benefit by joining our communities. But we have to first say no to them and learn how to empower ourselves, reclaim our power. So I put that all into my courses. Come on my websites, Clay Schmitz and ClayIsland.com. Both of them, it's all there. Sign up today or come do a one-on-one person and let's get going. Let's help each other feel better, communicate better, and relate better. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, I'll share my story. I think our stories is all we have. Mm. I don't care whose story it is. That's what makes you unique.
For sure.
And so my story, this is my story, and you can do with it whatever you want. It's my story. So when I was a baby, about 3 months old, my mother, she didn't nurse us. I guess there were some problems. So she had us on that Nestle's instant formula or whatever you call that, poison. And so she gave that to me, and I had all this mucus. I couldn't breathe, just coughing all the time. So she took me to the doctor. You know, thank you, Mom. And so the doctor said, interesting. Well, I tell you what, I got a solution for you. I think we should radiate his thymus gland, and then his bronchial tubes will expand. Then he'll be able to breathe again. She said, well, what's that radiation? He says, well, after World War II and we bombed Nagasaki, Hiroshima with the nuclear bombs, we saw, wow, that's pretty powerful stuff, man. So they started developing nuclear medicine back in 48, somewhere in there, 47, after the war. And so he says, well, we have this nuclear medicine that we're developing now, and we feel pretty hopeful about it. So we could radiate David's thymus gland so his bronchioles can expand. And Mom says, well, it's going to destroy his thymus gland? Oh, yeah, he doesn't need it. Once you're born, you don't need it actually anymore. And again, modern medicine, how they think. She said, okay, why not? So scheduled, had radiation. They didn't use shields in those days. Like when you go to the dentist, they put a shield, lead shield. They didn't have shields or anything. And miracle happened. I could breathe. I could breathe again. And so at that time, Mom thought, God, wonderful. Sheesh. David can breathe again. So that was the beginning.
So symptoms gone, and who cares long
term?
Yeah,
the outcome. We're not worried about 10, 20 years from now. This, we're going to fix it right now. So I was, so that went on early, no, 25. I was 25, married, had kids. I was feeling terrible. And I don't know, something was off. I didn't know what it was. So I went to Group Health in Seattle, Washington, and got an appointment with Dr. Monroe, God bless his soul, for a physical checkup. So he said, oh, hello, David, what's going on? I said, Doc, I'm just not feeling good. I need, maybe you can help me figure it out. He said, sure, sure, let's do a physical. So he's behind me. He's got his fingers on my neck, feeling my throat and thyroid. He said, David, swallow. I swallowed. He said, do it again. I did it again. He says, you got a tumor on your thyroid gland. I said, what? How'd that happen? And I wasn't into much self-healing anymore at this time in my life. Just sort of on the fringe of it, raising my own food, raising a family on a farm. He says, well, I want you to ask your mother if you ever been exposed to radiation. I said, exposed to radiation? I lived in Montana. No radiation up there in Montana. He says, well, I want you to ask her anyway. He says, we've been put on alert by the AMA that there's 2 to 3 million young adults your age that are getting physicals and have thyroid cancer. Mm-hmm. I said, what? He said, yeah, they experimented on about that 2 to 3 million babies on their thyroids to further the science. Guinea pigs. Mm. So I was one of the chosen guinea pigs.
Not the kind of chosen you want to be.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. I was 3 months old. So I went home. I called Mom that night. She was up in, I was in Washington. She was down here in California. And I just, hey, Mom, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing okay. What's going on? And I said, well, I wasn't feeling good, so I went to Dr. Monroe and got a physical, and he said I got a tumor on my thyroid. She said, oh my God, how'd that happen? I said, I don't know, but he wanted me to ask you a question. He wanted to know if I ever been exposed to radiation. There was a silence, nothing. 2-3 minutes, she didn't say a word. And she said, yes, you had a radiation treatment when you were 3 months old. They radiated your thymus so you could breathe. I went, oh, holy smokes. Now I got a tumor on my thyroid. She said, I'm sorry. I said, not your fault. So I went back, saw Dr. Monroe, said, yeah, guess what, Dr. Monroe? He said, what? I was radiated when I was 3 months old because I couldn't breathe, mucus. They radiated my thymus. He said, they what? Yeah, they radiated my thymus. I don't have one. I said, oh my goodness. He said, well, we're going to have surgery. And got to do some x-rays and scans, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, well, we're going to have to take out all your thyroid. I went, all of it? I said, yeah. You don't want to be growing tumors in your lymph nodes. I went, sheesh. So I went, I said, okay, let me think about it. So I went home, started to dig in, went to the library, dig in. Thyroid gland, doing some research. So I went back to Doc Monroe that following week. I said, Doc, I'll do the surgery, but you're only going to be able to cut out the tumor in half of it. I'm not going to give you all my thyroid. Can't have it. That's the only way I'll do it. He listened. He said, wow. But you know, your other lobe, node, the thyroid node, is probably going to get tumors too. I said, I'll take that chance. He said, okay, we'll do it. Had surgery. Didn't die. Hmm. And then he said, now, okay, here's your pills. I said, pills for what? He said, you have to take Synthroid the rest of your life. The rest of my life? Yeah, every day. I said, holy smokes, God. I was upset. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So I went home, started the Synthroid, started low dose, 25.25 milligrams. 2-3 weeks later, I called him. I said, Doc, I feel terrible. I feel worse than before. So he says, let's up your Synthroid to 0.5 milligrams. I said, okay. So started taking 0.5 milligrams, hour before breakfast, every morning. Didn't like it. I was like, Jesus, I'm a slave to Synthroid. Mm. And I got this real independent side of me that didn't want to, I mean, I raised my own food, self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to depend on PG&E or anybody for survival. I was off the grid. Called him 2 weeks later. Doc, I'm not feeling good. He said, what? Well, I'm getting palpitations off and on. I'm sort of foggy-headed. I just don't feel good anymore. So, well, let's up it again. I said, okay, you're the boss. To go to 0.75. I said, okay. Went up to 0.75. Man, I was a raving lunatic. Mm. I was so nervous, anxious, panic attacks, couldn't sleep. Irritable, just like, whoa, this is worse than ever. Mm. And so then I called him back. I said, Dr. Morello, something's worse than ever. He says, well, let's cut it back to 0.5. I went, oh boy, roller coaster. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to find the right level, but we'll get there. Mm. So I said, okay. So I went down to 0.5. Did that for about 2-3 weeks. Feeling so-so. Less panic attacks, so, you know, that was better. Mm. Wasn't a raving maniac anymore. Mm. And then I got up one morning, went to the bathroom, got out my Synthroid, put one tablet in my hand, glass of water, looked at it, and I'm done. Mm. Threw it in the toilet, threw all the pills in the toilet, flushed the toilet. I'm gonna heal myself. Mm. So that's when my self-healing journey began. And I got into organic foods, which I believe is critical. I've been eating organic foods since in my 20s, 50 years. Started taking vitamins. Got heavy into vitamin C. That was sort of the big rage then, those days. Lannis Pauling, vitamin C. And started investigating into herbal medicine. Mm. I went, huh, interesting. So I'd sort of on the perimeter, okay, everybody's talking about echinacea. Let me check it out. Dandelion root, let me check. So I started my early stages, and then a friend of ours said, David, why don't you go see Yasumori? I said, he's in Seattle. I said, okay, because I needed help. Hmm. She says,
you still weren't feeling 100%?
Yeah, I mean, better, but, you know, I knew something was off. My head, a fog head, a real fog head. I wasn't the same. And so I said, well, what does Yasuo do? She said, acupressure. I said, acupressure? I said, what's that? She says, well, there are certain pressure points on your body that they stimulate to help balance your body. I said, is he a guy or a woman? He's a man. I went, Jesus Christ, man. I'm not going to let some man pushing points on my body I don't even know. She said, relax. Just relax. Trust me.
This is Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. Old school.
Yeah.
And so she said, just call him. I'll tell him about you. Trust me. He's a good healer.
So referral, if she hadn't pushed, you would have been like, no way.
Yeah. You'll be expecting your phone call. Oh, holy shit. So back to the library I went, looked up acupressure. Shiatsu, I went, oh, interesting. Very well known in Japan. Do-in, some famous healers, Namakoshi, Tokujiro, and so I, So I was feeling lousy enough to call him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got the courage one day, said, okay, I'm just going to do it. You know, heck with it. I want to feel better. I was, again, wanting, that's the primal, the desperation, the struggle, the pain. It'll drive you if you really want to heal. But you have to be willing to throw away the medication.
Yeah.
Not medicated. So anyway, I called him. Hello? This is Yasumori. Can I help you? It's a real soft, mellow voice. I'm going, wow. I said, hi, Yasuo. This is David Kukla. Oh, Mr. Kukla. I've been waiting for you to call me. Would you like to schedule an appointment? I said, well, yeah. Okay. I can leave my clothes on? He said, well, of course. You don't, you can, or I'll give you a top and bottom, you know, suit to put
yeah,
on.
Like a gown.
A gown to put on. Don't worry. I said, okay, I'm kind of nervous. He said, that's okay. That's okay. When would you like to come see me? I said, well, how much it cost? He said, $35. This is back in the 70s, heavy. I went, okay. So I scheduled, took the ferry boat to Seattle. He was in downtown Seattle at the YMCA, down in the basement. I came for my appointment. There was a little waiting room I waited. Out came this small Japanese man with his kimono on, and I'm going, Jesus, wow. He says, come on, it's okay, come on. So I went in, he said, here, change into this, into these clothes, and then lay on the mat. He did traditional shiatsu, acupressure, on the
floor,
on the floor, tatami mats, and had some soft flute music playing. Just the whole, I was just like a different world than the outside world.
I can relate. That's how it was when I saw you. I was like, oh my God, what am I getting into here?
Yeah. Oh my God. So I was laying on my back. He said, okay, lay on your side, please. And he started doing some pressure points on my back, then on my feet. He said, okay, now turn over, please. Work the other side. Then it was an hour treatment. And then he kept doing pressure points. And I could feel something was going on inside my body. Something was shifting. It's like, wow. It's like, like the storm was quieting down. Just lay on your back now, please. I laid on my back. He put a cover over my eyes and did some pressure points on my head. And then he said, okay, Now we're finished, but I want you to just rest here for a little while, okay? He slid the Soji screens and quietly left. I was laying there on my back. Next thing I knew, I was sleeping. Hmm. And it was a different sleep. Hmm. It was like something was really shifting inside my psyche. And then, I don't know how long I was there. It wasn't even sleeping. It was, but then I woke up and I panicked. Hmm. I said, holy Christ, where did I go? Or what happened? And then he comes back in and he says, how are you doing? I said, okay, but when I woke up, I had a panic attack. What happened? It's all right. That usually happens with a lot of people. Hmm. When that energy, that old energy, gets balanced and leaves your body. Mm-hmm. It's like exorcism or something.
Yeah.
And so he left. He says, you can get changed. He had a little cup of tea for me. I changed my clothes, drank my tea, walked from the YMCA down to the ferry to go back home. And I was walking back home and I was going, holy shit, man, what happened? Changed my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so I came and I went back to see him for about 1 year, once a week. Mm. And felt pretty much healed without any medication. Mm. And so that was sort of the beginning of my journey into shiatsu, my personal journey. And eventually, I personally studied under him afterwards. And then after I studied with him for a year, I went to Japan and studied under Tokujiro Namakoshi, the grandfather of modern-day shiatsu. Went to his college for a year. And came back to America, and that was the beginning of my shiatsu career. Hmm. And been doing it for 40 years. Hmm. Along with, then what happened was when I was in Japan studying shiatsu, I was living in a Buddhist temple, and what happened, I was in the prayer room, meditation room, and they have this taiko, the big drum. I don't know if you've seen those Japanese big drums and beating them drums. Well, in the temple, that's what we did twice a day for an hour, and while we beat the drums, we chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, 1 hour. Mm. And so I'm chanting one day, and you sort of get zoned out when you do that for an hour, not to mention tired arms. And I'm chanting away there at the taiko drum, this light goes on, like the hit strikes me, you know, like poof. It says, David, a voice came. David, you have to study herbal medicine. Herbal medicine heals you from the inside out, and shiatsu acupressure heals you from the outside in. They're perfect yin yang balanced treatment, inside to outside. And so that was back in 1980, 1981. And so that's when my herbal studies began in Japan. They know it. They call it Kampo, the old way. And so the old way was my way. And here I am today. You're here at the shop.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. I've heard a lot of stories, but I haven't even told me the full, that one. So that was, yeah, incredible.
That's, yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah.
Yeah, happy to.
Yeah, so.
So I think, yeah, thank you so much. And I think that's good for today. And I'm Clay Schmitz. You can find me at clayisland.com. And we're here at Blue Jay Herbs with David Kukula. And what's the best way for people to find you?
Well, you can find the herbal medicines at bluejayherbs.com. You can listen to our podcast Clay and I have done together at livingtraditional.com.
Yeah, YouTube and the website.
Yeah. Facebook, they're all connected.
And if people want to make an appointment with you, what's the best way for them to get
Best way is to go to the my bluejherbs.com, my website.
Okay.
It's got a phone number. It's got a contact list. So you can call me from that. That's the business line. And has forms, has the formulas. You can read the testimonials. You could read my personal website at davidkukla.com, which Clay designed for me. A lot of testimonials. I'll make a believer out of you.
Perfect.
My neighbor, across just across the alley here, great Irishman. One day I got to work and I see him, Nick, limping. I could barely can walk. I got up, got on my truck and said, Nick, what's going on? He's in his 60s. Got a construction company in Morgan Hill. He says, I got gout. Mm. I said, gout? How long you had that? He said, almost a year. I said, a year? It hasn't gotten better? No, I've been to every hospital and doctor on the West Coast. He's got money.
Oh, wow.
All the way to L.A. to Seattle, San Francisco, Stanford. He'd been to them all. And each one, give him different medication. Mm. He says, I've been taking all this medication 1 year now. Guess what? Nothing's helped. Mm. I'm doomed. Mm. I can't even hardly walk anymore. Oh. I said, oh my God. I said, Mick, can I tell you something? He said, what? Why don't I give you some herb medicine? Mm. For gout? Yeah, for gout. Uric acid buildup, kidneys not flushed, you know, body's too acidic. Mm. Got to alkalize and get rid of that uric acid. He said, well, I don't take herbal medicine. I said, okay. So then he starts limping away. Then he stops thinking about it.
Yeah.
He turned around. He said, okay, I'll try it. Is it going to hurt me? I said, no. Matter of fact, you might feel a little better. He said, how much does it cost? I said, for you, nothing. I'll tell you what. If you feel better in 1 week, you pay me then. But if you don't, free of charge. He said, okay, give it to me. So gave him some Lymph Clear and some Metal Sweet, those two are combinations. Perfect for gout. Well, guess what? In 1 week, he saw me pull into work. He said, David, I said, yeah, what's going on? I can't believe what happened. What? I feel better. My gout's going away. I said, yeah, did you stop your medication? He said, yeah, I've just taken your herbs. I don't want all that poison in my body. I said, okay. Is it all gone? He says, almost. He said, can I have another couple bottles? I said, sure. He said, great. And he said, you made a believer out of me. I said, yeah. This happens to a lot of people when they start going the natural way. Mm. Medicine, you know, it survived the test of time, herbal medicine. Thousands of years of evolution. I think they say 60% of the world's population uses herbal medicine as their treatment. Over half the world.
Yeah. Well, even the Rockefeller synthesize, it's copies of natural stuff that they can patent. It's a poison version of the stuff that works, basically.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
So then he kept taking the herbs. Next thing he said, "Hey, David, Jim's going to be calling you." I said, "What?" "Oh, yeah, he's got bad gut." I told him, "Man, this is miracle stuff." Send Jim a couple days. "Hey, David, Byron's going to call you. He's got gout really bad. Can you send him some?"
Yeah, you don't need Yelp. You got Mick.
Yeah, I tell you, that guy's brought in more customers from not just gout, but just everything. Top to bottom. Mm. You know, proof's in the pudding.
Yeah,
proof's in the pudding.
That's incredible.
You know, when you got something good, you're not just, you know, playing people off. But so, there's a story for you.
That is wonderful. That's amazing. Yeah, that's what I came for. I knew you had. I'm sure, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But
that's one of many.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, I get clients who, back in the '80s, started with them. The next thing I know, their children are coming in. Mm. Then their grandchildren are coming in, and. So I got clients 30, 40 years old that still come to see me for medicine. Mm. Yeah, that's all they take. Mm. There are a lot of people who want the natural way, don't want to take the poison anymore, want to eat the organic foods, want to, you know, they know it's polluted, they know, you know. Things like, got to change.
That stuff's only been around for 100 years. Like, how did we make it this far? You know,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Just think about it, people.
Yeah. The modern science dissected herbs to find out what might be the medicine that makes it work. That's how they created aspirin from willow bark.
Willow bark, yeah.
Yeah.
And then aspirin was killing, was killing tons of people. They were giving stupid doses back in the day.
So I use willow bark, not very much. And they've done the same thing with ginseng. If you don't know, if you buy ginseng supplements or pills, what science done is dissected ginseng and said that it's the ginsenoside that's the medicine.
Not the plant, but the little molecule.
Yeah, like, not the whole plant. And in natural healing, we believe in the whole plant because it's a built-in protective mechanism for everything. And it works. They support it. It's community. Mm-hmm. No different than we've lost our communities in real life with peoples.
Yeah, we're dissected from our tribe.
Yeah, we're isolated. Mm-hmm. Just my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. And so ginsenoside became the marker for ginseng, for the market. So in Europe, you can't sell ginseng unless it has, I think, 14% ginsenoside in it. So if you're making it, and it only comes in at 8, then you buy the synthetic ginsenoside and inject it into the product so that you hit 14%. Yes. So now you got true medicine. That's how modern science works. It's microscopic. It can't see, you know, blinders. It can't see the whole picture, how we're all related to each other. Whether it's that oak tree out there, the dirt in my sage plants, it's all, man, we're all dependent on each other. And so anyway, that's the healing way. If you got the courage to do it, give me a call.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you so much, David.
Well, thanks for coming in. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Okay. Thanks so much, and check out the websites, and see you next time.
We'll talk again.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Take care.
Yep, bye.
When I discover the truth, I want to shout it from the rooftops. That's why I wrote 3 books, Unlearning to Remember, The Flying Lyris, and Breakup is the Beginning. Available on Amazon, on my website, on Spotify, you can get the audiobook, and on Audible, you can also get the audiobook. We've been told a bunch of nonsense, a pack of lies, and they're not innocent lies like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus or something like this. No, these are drink this poison, it's good for you kind of lies. So these people are nasty, and we need to do something different. So let's wake up together. Help me, support me in this mission to educate everyone around me. And even though my family arrogantly fights me in learning this, once we learn the truth, it's only good. It only helps. It only improves our lives. I mean, how can not taking poison and learning how to help ourselves and take care of ourselves and take care of our kids, how can that possibly harm? That can only do good. Learning how to take care of this earth and how to build community, come back together, how to steward this place. This is only good stuff. This can only help. So I wrote The Flying Lyris for the kids. It's a story about, we're told that a new boogeyman is on the scene and only the potion from the rulers can save us. Where have we heard that story? Unlearning to Remember, that was when I woke up after my first divorce and learned about community and about how this place used to be and our ancestral ways and how much better this place can be if we know how to take care of each other. And then Breakup is the Beginning. It's all about my divorces and my losses and how they truly were the beginning. That's what originally woke me up. It was in that desperation that I was tired and done and ready to ask for help and willing to do whatever to build a better life. And I have, and it's amazing. And so get them on my website at clayonland.com or Amazon or Audible or Spotify. Thanks so much for your support.